darkest secrets. No, no. But what we're going to be doing in this topic is looking at the personal and private aspects of our interaction with God. So far we've looked at, you know, everything that Christians go through, everything that Christians experience, like prayer and reading your Bible and studying it, and church and how church works, and evil and all that sort of stuff. But now we're going to look at the very personal side of your connection and your interaction with God. So the things that we'll look at in this topic is your devotional life, hearing from God, what that's like, how to hear from God, how to know if God's speaking to you, fasting, what that is, how it works, how it helps you as a Christian. And we're going to look at some things that get in the way of your interaction with God, like hypocrisy, compromise, sin, all of those different things that can get in the way of your relationship with God. Now, tonight, we're going to get this started off looking at our interaction with God as a relationship. Yes. Do you guys know that as Christians, we are in a personal, one-on-one relationship with God? And I mean, I guess you could say things are getting pretty serious. It was a joke. I put so much time into that one. But all throughout the Bible, our connection to God is described as a relationship. In some cases, it's described as a friendship. In others, it's described as a marriage, God being the groom and us being the bride. In other cases, he's described as a father. That's very often what we see. And then sometimes he's described as almost like a big brother type figure. We see that in Proverbs and in some of the Psalms as well. But all of these things have one thing in common. They're relationships. And you can see what a relationship is. It's an emotional connection or some other type of connection between people, usually two people. That's what makes a relationship. And in this case, the emotional relationship is between us and God as Christians. But relationships are not easy things. I hate to burst anybody's bubble, but it takes a lot to maintain a healthy, strong, ongoing relationship. It requires equal effort from both sides. You know, you gotta meet halfway. Sometimes you gotta pay half the tab, if you, like, you know what I'm saying? You gotta split the tab. And your relationship with God is the exact same way. Yes, God has done 100% of the work. He has finished. We know by the work of the cross, Christ finished it. All we have to do is put our faith in him. But you also have to play your part in maintaining and growing and cultivating that healthy relationship. It can't just be one-sided. We can't just let God do all the work and kind of live like nothing has changed, like nothing has happened now that we've entered into relationships with God. So tonight, we're going to look at three key factors to maintaining a healthy relationship. And we're going to apply it to our relationship with God as we go along. So the things we're going to look at is knowledge, devotion, and sacrifice. So if you're taking notes, that's the way we're going to structure the teaching. First, knowledge, devotion, and sacrifice. Delicious ingredients to healthy relationships. Yes. If you tune in, you will have a flourishing love life in the future. Just kidding. Maybe. We'll see. But before we get into these three topics, I kind of want to look at what not to do in a relationship. So I did a little bit of research and found five things that you should never say in a relationship. Five things. And I think you might figure out why. So the first thing that you should never say in a relationship is, quote unquote, have you gained weight? Maybe if it's muscle, if it's muscle, have you gained weight and muscle? The second thing is very similar. Do I look like I've gained weight? Asking that question, I think it's better just not to ask it. Just leave it unspoken. Probably don't answer it too. Third thing to never say in a relationship: you're so cute when you're dumb. That's fire. If you're ever about to say that, don't. Just don't. Also, the fourth thing you should never say in a relationship is your grammar is wrong. So apparently, people who are like strict grammar Nazis have a bad habit of correcting like the person they're in a relationship's grammar when they're arguing. So they'll be like, why can't me and my friends hang out? It's my friends and I! You know, like, and they're correcting the grammar, which I guess that is really, it does not help in the course of the argument. Guilty as charged? Uh-oh. Jerry's a grammar. I know, you correct my grammar every Sunday on the slides. Okay, last thing you should never say in a relationship. You sound just like your mother. Oh, or father. If someone ever tells me I sound like my mother, I'll be like, that's weird. That's a little weird. I'm a man. But it's still pretty bad, pretty rough. No, I can't take your question, sorry. Do you have questions about why you should never say that? No, don't tell me, I don't wanna know. So let's just dive right into it. So first point we're gonna look at is knowledge. This is the first and probably most foundational aspect of any relationship. It's that you have to get to know the person. Bam! Mind blown! I know. It sounds really obvious, but a lot of times this point is skipped over. You guys are part of a sexting generation. And what that means is people are sending intimate and often inappropriate messages to one another. And it's often people that they don't even speak to in person, or people that they don't even know in real life. And this is a very common thing that's happening all over social media, all over text, and I'm sure you guys are aware of it. And the issue with it is they're completely, one, I mean, it's sin, there's sin involved all over it, but they're completely skipping the getting to know phase of a relationship. And they've gone straight to the intimate and the sexual aspect of that relationship without even really genuinely knowing the person. And this is all over our culture, all over the current generation that we live in right now. But we cannot forget how important it is to get to know someone that you are in a relationship with. Even if it's just a friendship, you need to get to know that person. You need to know who they are, what's going on with them. Know them, know their personalities. And this applies to our relationship with God. We have to get to know God. John 17:3, the passage that we opened up with, says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you." Eternal life, that you may know God. And that word know, translated to the original language, is ginosko. Can you say it? Ginosko. You got it, yeah. And you need that Greek voice. Ginosko. And what this is, what this means is to know someone personally. So we know a lot of facts. We know that 2 + 2 = 7. We know that pi is, hopefully you know this, yes, 3.14. Pi day was yesterday. But this is not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about knowing facts well. He's talking about getting to know God, his personality. Ginosko, that's the definition in case you missed it. Getting to know his personality. Know what makes God happy. What makes God tick? You can actually learn that through studying God's word, through praying to him. What makes God sad? And then how does God act when he is sad? What does God like about you? These are things that you can know from God on a personal level, that you can discover about him by reading your Bible, by praying, by getting to hear and know what other Christians have found out about God. So the first aspect is we have to, in a relationship, we have to get to know that person, and we have to get to know God.
His word is there for us to get to know who he is, to get to know what he's done for us, what he thinks of you, how he views sin, how he views the current state of the world. You can get to know this and get to know God on a personal level. And it's something we should be doing, constantly working toward. The second thing, second important ingredient that we're going to look at is devotion. And devotion, by definition, is profound dedication to something or someone. And let me tell you what, a lot of devotion can really determine the way a relationship is going to go. So if someone's really devoted to a relationship, to a friendship, or a dating relationship, it's probably going to go really well. If they're not very devoted, if there's no devotion there, no profound dedication to that relationship, they're probably going to have to work a little hard at it. And since they don't have devotion, they probably aren't really going to work super hard at it. So one mark of devotion is loyalty. It needs loyalty. Not cheating on someone that you're in a relationship with. Not flirting with whoever you want to flirt with now that you're in a committed relationship. That, if you're devoted to the relationship, that has to end. And do you know that the book of Hosea tells us that when we turn our backs towards God, when we turn from God and pursue sin, and pursue our pride and whatever we want, that it is like cheating on God, that it is like being in a dedicated marriage relationship with Christ and then cheating on that when we choose to turn from him and live in our sin. How crazy is that? That is how God views our sin when we choose to live in sin. That's crazy. But devotion can also be just giving as much of your attention and your time and your focus as you can to that person. So it's the good morning text. Ah, good morning. Emoji, smiley face, winky face, like coffee cup, coffee mug, pizza. I don't know what else. Or it's showing up on time for the date, even when you're worn out, or even when you're tired, or even when something came up, but you still try your best to get to that date on time. And our relationship with God needs this devotion just as much. There's an old song taken directly from Psalm 42. We don't sing it very often anymore, but it's a really good song. It says in the chorus, "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee." This is devotion, to say to God, "You alone are my heart's desire, and what do I want? I want to spend time with you. I want to spend time talking about you. I want to spend time worshiping you." How often can we, as human beings walking through life, go a whole day where we don't even think about God till the end of the day, till we're laying our head on the pillow and we go, "Oh my goodness, I forgot to read my Bible," or, "Oh my goodness, I haven't even prayed once today." I have a struggle with that. That's a hard thing. As time for me gets busy and things start to add up, it's so easy for me to just say, "Oh, I don't have time to read my Bible. I need to go do this. I need to go do that. I need to go chop, 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 doobity doo, da." But our relationship with God needs devotion, where we say, we give him that good morning text. Yes, our morning's busy. We need to move quick. But we set some part of time, set our focus on him and say, "Lord, how are you doing? It's so good to be your child today. It's so good to see you, to pray to him. I pray that this day will go smooth. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit," and just worship him shortly, even in your morning. You can do it. It's possible. And he wants that. He wants us to make time for him, even when we're busy. That relationship, our relationship with God, it needs devotion. Now, the last important ingredient that our relationship needs, the last one that we're going to look at tonight, is sacrifice. Sacrifice is what keeps relationships growing. So, from like a communication and psychological perspective, without sacrifice, there'd be no growth in a relationship. And if a relationship stops growing, it will die. if groups, like small groups of people, are not constantly getting new goals and new input, new something for them to handle and work through together, a relationship or a small group will just die. It won't have anything to do. There won't be anywhere for it to grow. So sacrifice is so important because it keeps a relationship growing, which keeps it alive. And I think the modern relationship lingo that we have today would call this taking the next step. Boom. So it's you know, going Facebook official even when you're so against labels. Like, I'm so anti-labeling, but I guess we can go Facebook official. It's been 6 years. Or it's driving everywhere together, even when it adds like 30 minutes to your driving trip, but you just want to drive everywhere together. It's sacrifice, and it's important, taking the next step. Or it's putting a ring on it, you know? Engagement. Taking that step toward marriage. Sacrifice. This is what keeps things going, keeps a relationship growing. And our relationship with God, it needs sacrifice from us. God wants sacrifice in our relationship with Him. But the issue that can come up is when God sacrificed so much, gave His Son Jesus, and then Jesus, being God, gave His life for us, poured His life out as a drink offering for us, we can look at that and say, what can I do? What can I do in return for something that has given me eternity? Something that put Jesus through so much? Something that is so incredible? What can we do? And Jesus would say simply, in Luke 9:23, He'd say, do the same thing. Deny yourself. Take up your cross every single day and follow me. Paul would say something very similar. He'd say, crucify your flesh so that when you live, it's no longer you who lives, but it's Christ living through you. And so, how can we as Christians, as human beings, sacrifice in our relationship with God? Jesus would say, Paul would say, give your whole life to Him. And this is huge. This is so huge. You mean my school studies, and like, even if I get bad grades, I have to do that for God? Yes, God wants you to, even if you can't get good grades and you're putting your best foot forward, but it's not working out for you the way you want it to, God wants you to do those bad grades for Him. I know, it sounds funny, but He does. He wants you to put your best foot forward for Him, even if it's not really pretty, even if it's not the best thing you can imagine. That's what God desires. Or to look at your friendships and your relationships on earth, now I'm not talking about your relationship with God, and say, I'm going to be a good friend to that person, even when sometimes they're not a good friend to me, for God. You're allowing Him to take over even your friendships, saying that you're going to surrender that friendship over to Him. And it happens everywhere in our life. God desires surrender, sacrifice, in every single aspect of our lives. But it's hard. It's challenging. And even Jesus said, it's something that you are not going to crack the code for one day, and then suddenly everywhere you go, you're like, oh, I'm doing this for Jesus, and I'm not even thinking about it. No. Jesus said, you have to do this every single day. You have to, every single day. I don't know why I said it like that. You have to do this every single day. But you do, because we are going to get swayed so easily by what happens in our life, by things that are just going on in our mind that we can't even explain, by things that are happening in our families, things that are happening in the news, things that are happening at school that are outside of our control. We need to do this every single day. And we need to do it before we've fallen behind and said, oh man, I'm totally missing out on it. We need to do it in the morning and say, Lord, I surrender what's going to happen today to you every single day, doing that. And then if in the middle of the day, we start to kind of do things for ourselves, become selfish and do things to our own glory, Jesus would say, do it again. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Surrender who you are to the Lord. And this simple thing that can seem so simple is, it's something that keeps so many Christians from experiencing the fullness that is there for us to experience in a relationship with God. So often, Christians who are saved, of course, they're totally saved, they'll walk into a worship meeting, and people in there are singing the same songs as you, but you see very clearly that they are experiencing their relationship with God in a totally different way. And you can kind of feel like that person who's at a museum looking in through glass. Yeah, you know it, you understand it, you get it, it makes sense to you. You can even witness it, you can even feel it maybe, but you aren't within it. You aren't fully experiencing the fullness that God has for you in a relationship. And the thing that is keeping you from that is surrendering all that you are to Him, sacrificing every day, denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Him, so that you can see, as the psalmist sung, as we used to sing in church, but we don't sing it that much anymore. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Lord, you alone are my heart's desire. Only you, in this world that offers me so much, you alone are my heart's desire. And what do I want to do? I want to worship you. That is what I want to do. That is what satisfies me. So, we're going to go into small groups and talk about this. Talk about relationships. And, I mean, let's get personal.
No.
I mean, you don't, yeah. But if you want, get personal. Talk about it. How are things with your relationship with God? It's hard. Jesus said, deny yourself every single day because every day... that sneeze. Because every day, something is going to be there to really mess things up and ruffle your feathers. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be your people, to be united under you, and to be in an active, growing relationship with you. Please fill us with your Spirit as we go to small groups. Help us to know how to talk about our relationship with you, like it is a real active relationship that we have to maintain ourselves, just as you do so much for us. There is stuff that we can do for you to honor you and to praise you and to glorify you. Please go before us, we pray. We thank you for your love and that you are with us every second of every day. We love you so much, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Break up into small